Dalit, Perek Dalit, we are up to Pasuk Zayin. Okay, we are beginning Perek Dalit, Pasuk Zayin. We are now beginning the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He is extremely disturbed. This dream is different than the dream in Perek Beis in that he knows what the dream is. Perek Beis, Nebuchadnezzar did not know what his dream was. He summoned all of his wise men, all the various magicians and sorcerers and people who communicate with the dead and astrologers, and no one could mourn and no one could help him out until finally Daniel came along and provided him with the dream and with its interpretation. So here at this point in time he's having another dream, but here he knows the dream, and again he summoned his wise men. And it was also interesting that here he did not threaten them with death. In Perek Beis, he threatened everyone with death. If you do not provide me with the dream and its interpretation, I'm going to cut you all into little pieces, it says. And I'm going to take your homes. And what?
So there'll be no one left to interpret
it. I guess so. What?
Simply part of the driver.
So we discussed that yesterday, that Daniel was seemingly, he was not here, he was away, he was on a mission. He was the Secretary of State of ancient times. He was not always available, and also he did not, you don't need necessarily for a simple little dream, you don't have to go call the wisest men of the country, you can call the other people who are appointed to do this. Only when the dream is extremely difficult and no one else can provide a proper solution. Yeah?
Did Nebuchadnezzar know what his dream was this time?
It seems yes.
So then it's a simpler task.
It's a much simpler task, so it's not necessary to bring out the heavy guns. We're going to do it right now. So just recapping what we did so far. So I want to point out this other difference, another major difference between this dream and the dream here and the dream Perek Beis, that in the Perek Beis, Nebuchadnezzar acted in an irrational way. He threatened everyone in sight with death and destruction if they're not going to do the impossible. They said to me, "You're asking us something which is impossible. If you'll tell us the dream, then we'll tell you the interpretation. You can't expect us to tell you what's in your mind, the dream. This is something which is impossible." And he didn't care. "If you don't tell me the dream and its interpretation, I'm going to kill every single one of you, and I'm going to take your homes and destroy them." And here, Nebuchadnezzar is not acting in this irrational way. He's saying,
"If Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what the dream was,
yes,
how would he tell what the difference was?"
Exactly. That's what we learned in Perek Beis. In Perek Beis, he said, "After you'll tell me the dream, then you will remind me of what it was. If you'll just tell me a story, it's not going to resonate with me, then obviously you're liars. But if you'll tell me what the dream was, that will trigger recall memories, deep memories, and then I'll believe you and I'll know that you're also telling me the correct interpretation." So what's the dream? Pasuk Zayin. V'chezvei reishi al mishkavi chazei haves. The dream, the visions, v'chezvei means the visions of my head. That's how he describes the dream, the vision in my head. Al mishkavi, while I was sleeping, chazei haves, I saw. Haves means hoyisi. Chazei haves, I saw. What did I see in my dream? What did I see in the visions of my head while I was on my bed? What did I see? Va'alu ilon b'goyara, a tree, a massive tree came forth from the ground, the goar in the earth, the rumei sagi, and its height was massive. Sagi means extremely great, extremely it was a very, very tall tree. Pasuk ches, revoi lona, the tree grew. Revoi means to grow. As I was watching the tree grew, got bigger and bigger. Usikif, and it became very powerful. Vrumei, and its height, yimtei lishmai, its height reached the heavens. Vachazose lesov kol ara, and it can be seen from one end of the earth to the other. No matter where you stand in the earth, you can see this massive tree on the ground. Pasuk tes, Ofye, its branches. Shapir were beautiful. The inbe and its fruit. Okay, inbe comes from tenuva. Tenuvas hasode, the produce of the earth. Here it means the fruit of sagi was great, was massive. Umazon lecholove, and there was enough food on this tree for the entire world. L'cholah. This tree was so massive that it can provide food and sustenance for everyone. Ticho sohi, it's beneath it. Ticho sohi beneath it. Tatlel would take shelter. The branches provided shelter. Tatlel, what?
The bottom of it.
Tachtosi, the bottom of it. Tatlel was shelter for Chevaspera, the wild animals of the field. Uve anfohi, and in its branches, Yiduron would live. Lashon of Dar. Sipare Shemaya, the birds of heaven, Umine, and from it Yitzin Kol Bistra, and from this there's a little bit of repetition over here in this part, and from it Yitzin would be provided with sustenance. Yitzin is sustenance, Kol Bistra, all flesh. So the all wild animals and all creatures of the world will be able to provide, to have sustenance from this tree. So far, let's recap what we have. We have a massive tree. It's coming out of the ground. As I look at it, it's getting larger and larger. It can be seen from one end of the world to the other end of the world. It provides shelter. It has fruit. The food it can provide is enough for everyone to eat. All living creatures can take shelter. Birds live in its branches. And everyone is sustained from this massive tree. And then suddenly something happens. After I'm watching this pasuk yud, Chazei Haves, I saw b'chazvei reishi, in the image, in the vision of my head, al mishkavi, while I was lying down, as I was looking at this beautiful scene, va'alu ir. Now, ir is an unusual word. It means, in this context, an angel, a destructive angel. Aru, aru ad hayisod ba. Aru in that pasuk means to uproot, to come uproot and obliterate. So here it means that there was an angel of destruction. An ir is an angel of destruction, v'kadish. Now, this is a contradiction. On the one hand, it was a destructive angel. On the other hand, it was a holy angel. So that means that it was sent from on high, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gave the order that this angel should act in a destructive way to destroy this tree. Min Shemayin Nochis, it descended from heaven. And what happened? Korei v'chayil, this angel called out with great strength, with great might, v'chein omar, and said the following. And the following was what was said in this great sound. Godu ilana, this is a very famous expression. It appears all over Chazal. Cut down the tree. Whenever the Chazal wanted to describe a command of destruction, they always borrow from this expression in Daniel, where we have over here the ultimate, most beautiful object in the world, a tree. Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. You have to remember, a tree in the Torah, in Parashat, I think it's Parashat Kiseitze, is compared to a person. Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. A person, Eitz Chaim Yilam HaChazing, a person is compared to a tree. So here, this beautiful tree provides sustenance for the entire world. It's massive and wonderful. And here the Malach says, go to Ilana, I want the tree to be cut down. That is symbolic of the ultimate form of destruction. When man is cut down, man who is a provider, a person who provides food, provides shelter, sustenance for other people, and is cut down, that is the ultimate form of destruction, the ultimate form of Churban. And therefore these two words are used as a mashal to describe Churban. Go to Ilana, cut down the tree. The katzitsu anfohi, chop up its branches. Ataru ofye. Ataru ofye means hapala. That's another word. Another word. The Mitzudo Sion translates this word inyan hapala v'hashlocha, cast down. Okay, these are synonyms. I don't know the exact difference. There's godu, katsitu is to cut. Ataru also means to cast down afye, its branches, and uva daru and disperse. Vadaru means to be poiser, pazira, pazer, disperse, inbe its fruit. Tenud chev sa, tenud means to wander. It shall leave this location where the where the wild animals are located, because
what
no longer. What? Yenudin means to like lush, nov and not to wander. Tenud chevsa, let the wild animals wander min tachtawi, from beneath the branches. Until now they were taking shelter in the branches. Now the tree has been cut down, they are going to have to wander, they no longer will have shelter. Vitsi paraya min anfohi, and let the birds that were taking shelter in the branches, they have to now nud. They have to wander and flee from the tree. Okay, so all of a sudden the Malach is coming out of heaven and it's giving a command that this entire tree should be completely destroyed, obliterated, cut down, and all of the creatures that took shelter in this tree have to flee, and no longer will there be sustenance because the fruit is going to be dispersed.
You say the whole tree is being, or just confer?
What? The whole tree. Go to Ilanot. So the Ilan, I think, refers to the trunk. The trunk. And once the trunk is taken, also all the branches and all of the everything that's toffled to the tree has to be completely destroyed and obliterated. Pasuk Yudbeis Biram. Now here is the only saving grace for the tree, however. Ikar Shor Shohi Be'ara Shavuku. Don't uproot the roots. So here, what we're predicting is that one day this tree will be restored. The tree will not be, even though it's going to be temporary, it's going to be cut down, but the time will come, being that the roots of the tree are still in the ground, it will regrow, it will re-blossom at a later point in time. Shor Shohi Be'ara Shavuku, leave the branches in the ground. Now here we're doing something very strange. Uve Esur Di Farzel, and with bands of iron, with handcuffs, with chains, azar, like really chains, uve esur, chains, shell barzel, chains of iron, unchosh, and copper, be disa divera, it means in the grass, be disa is desha. The translation, the Hebrew, the word desha means vegetation, and the targum of desh is disa, and the disa divara means of the field. Uvital shemaya, and the tal, when we put these words together in one moment, and in with let's take a step back. Uve esur di farzel unchosh bedisa divara. Tie up the roots, tie up the roots to the grass. With the roots of the tree shall be tied with chains of barzel to the vegetation. Uvesur di farzel unuchosh bedisa divera. Take the chains of iron and of copper and tie them. To one end should be the roots, and the other end should be the grass, the vegetation of the field of the Bara means the wild field. Uvital Shemaya Yitzdaba, and in the dew of heaven, the roots which are now tied to the grass and to the grass shall be moistened. Yitztaba means retiva, shall be moistened by the tal, the dew which comes every, which refreshes itself every single day. V'yim chevsa chalokei, and with the wild animals, with chevsa means wild animals, chalokei the portion. Chalokei means chelek, ba'asav ara, the grass of the field. The roots will now have a new lot. They will share the field together with the wild animals that roam the field and eat the grass of the earth. So again, the moment of the imchev soch chalokei, and with the wild animals shall be its portion. The roots that are chained to the grass will be to the vegetation, will share its lot with the wild animals, ba'asav ara, on the grass of the earth. Pasuk Yud Gimel. What? Okay, let's. Okay, so right, exactly. So let me already give you a little bit of the interpretation, so it'll become a little bit clearer. What's happening over here is this tree refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Ki adam etz hasadeh, and when Nebuchadnezzar originally sees the tree, it's a beautiful tree and it provides sustenance. It represents his success. He was the melech over the entire lower world, and he built for himself an empire like none other. He controlled. We learned the midrashim in the previous parakim that he controlled even the animals. dog wouldn't bark, a lion wouldn't roar, an animal, a bird wouldn't chirp unless it had permission from the Nebuchadnezzar. He had complete control, shlita, over this entire world, and was extremely successful. And that is symbolic of this beautiful tree that's well rooted and is extremely tall and thick with branches and fruit. He sustained the entire world. The economy obviously was thriving. Everything was fine. All of a sudden, he was knocked out. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came along and said, you're going to lose your mind. Basically, mental illness. He lost his mind. And by losing his mind, his success was wiped off the face of the earth. What?
Economic depression.
Well, not necessarily for the world. It's more this
control.
He controlled. Right? He lost control, but he basically lost his mind. We're going to see that. There's the question: how long? Either 7 years or seven seasons, which would be 3.5 years, or maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on. But basically, he lost his mind for a significant period of time. But it was only, and now during this period of time, the Nebuchadnezzar, this tree, Ki Ha'odam Eitz HaSodeh, he turned into an animal. At least, not only did he turn into an animal, he thought he was an animal. He thought he was one of the wild animals of the field. And we're going to see soon that his hair grew long like an eagle, his nails grew long like birds. They tried, it seems, at some point at least, to take him into some institution, right, to take him and put him away somewhere, but he refused to do so. He insisted that he live out in the field together with the wild animals. He refused to let others clean him. He was naked, and his body was cleansed through the tal, was through the dew of the fields. He ate grass just like the other animals, and he communicated with the other animals. He thought he was an animal, and anyone who came close and tried to take him into some type of institution, he would refuse. Obviously, he was a very powerful person. He was a very strong person, and no one was able to come near him during this period of time. Then we're going to see the later, being that in this mashal, the roots are still in the ground. It's not completely destroyed. After 7 years, slowly over a period of time, his mind came back. He began to regain his mental abilities, and he began to realize, what am I doing? His chachma was obviously, the Nebuchadnezzar was an extremely wise person originally. He was wicked, but he was very, very wise. And over time, his chachma began to be restored. He began to realize what's happening, and slowly he abandoned this mode of living out in the wild, and he came back into the palace, and his malchus was restored. So over here, we're describing here the tree is cut down, and when the tree is cut down, that really means he lost his mind, and he decided he's going to live in the forest with the other animals. And the analogy is, it's as if he was tied to the forest with chains of iron and copper. And he was not wearing any clothing, and therefore his body became wet in the tal every single day. And what did he eat? He ate his portion, his lot, his chelek, was with the wild animals in chevosa chalokei. With wild animals was his portion. Basavara, they shared together the grass of the field. They fought over it like an animal. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yes, so the reason for this, we're going to see, is because of his arrogance. Nebuchadnezzar, as we learned before, he denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when he witnessed the great miracle of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, how they were spared, he owned that only pressed upon him, okay, there's another God. I have my God, and they have their God, and their God sometimes able to do miracles for them, but still, I believe that my success is due to my powers, and my God, Belteshazzar, that word that he still had his God called Bel, and that Bel would protect the Otzer, his great success and wealth. So Hashem here came and humbled him and was showing him, you're not the boss. You are not It's not due to your success. The only reason why you are successful is because I made you successful. Klal Yisrael, my nation, has sinned. They have worshipped idols, Avodah Zarah, Gilurei Shefichah, and therefore I had to punish them by destroying the Beis HaMikdash. You were the instrument to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You're nothing more than a tool in the hand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Don't let your success get to you. And Hashem humbled him. And then, as Hashem slowly restored his wisdom, it was like a renewal. It was like a rebirth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him in this new renewal that Hashem really is the Melech of the entire world. And he did. He came to realize that Hashem controls the world and he is nothing more than an instrument, a tool in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go further. Livavei. Then he goes on to say, Livavei min anosho yishanon. His heart, we're now describing what's going to happen to this tree, to this person. Now what's very interesting, let me just take a step back, what's very unique about this dream, and this is discussed in detail by the commentators, is that the dream itself is providing the interpretation. Normally a person has a dream, it's a pure analogy. A person has a dream, he's on an island, and this thing, and a tree comes, and then the ocean comes, and the dream is over. And now you have to interpret what is the significance of this dream. Here in the dream itself, we're jumping back and forth between the metaphor and the interpretation. The dream itself is, there's a beautiful tree. Okay, that's a typical dream. Then the tree is cut down. Okay, that's so far so good. Then all of a sudden it says, talks about that the roots are tied with shackles. You don't tie roots with shackles. You tie human beings with shackles. And then it says that the roots are going to eat. The portion of the roots are going with the wild animals. And then it talks in possible, well, we'll hear really possible, Gimel gets much more specific. It talks about his heart. Livavei, his heart. Heart, who has a heart? Only human beings have hearts, not trees. So the dream itself is vacillating between the metaphor, the tree, and its interpretation. The dream itself is providing an interpretation, which is very unique in the world of dreams. In the world of dreams, you typically don't get that. You typically just get the symbolism, and you have to interpret the symbolism. Here, the dream itself is going back and forth between the symbolism and what are we referring to? The only thing which fooled Nebuchadnezzar, he never imagined that it was referring to himself. He thought it was referring to another nation. He didn't think that it seemed possible. He was such an egomaniac that something bad can happen to himself, that he can be subject to being cut down and to live like an animal in the forest. He never imagined such a thing would be possible. But that's why he was not satisfied with all of the interpretations, because no one would have the chutzpah to say to Nebuchadnezzar, you are the tree, and you, Nebuchadnezzar, are going to be cut down, and you're going to lose your mind, and you're going to live like an animal in the forest, and you're going to eat grass, and you'll be with the wild animals, and no one's going to be able to convince you otherwise. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Livavei, the heart of this person that the dream itself interprets as a human being will be min anosha yishanu, will become different than man. It will no longer be, it will no longer have the human characteristics. Ulvav cheva yisyehevle. Instead of having a human heart or the intellect, here the heart really refers to the intellect of a human being, will have the intellect of an animal. Ulvav the intellect of a cheva, of an animal, yisyehevle. Yicheva means an animal. Yisyehevle will be given to this person. Vishiva idonin yachlefun alohi. Idonin means a time period. Now, what is the time period? There's a wide spectrum of interpretations for the time period. Some learn, most learn it means a year. For 7 years, seven years, you will remain in this situation where you will lose your human intellect. You'll have the intellect of an animal, and you will live in the forest. Shiva idanin.
Since his success,
yes,
larger success depended on the prosperity of the different countries, if they were well off, and maybe if therefore there's economic depression throughout the world, then he'll get, he'll be taken away.
It doesn't seem that there was an economic depression during this time. It seems that he was just removed from his position. His son took over. When he lost his mind and he was acting in the field like an animal, we'll see that his son, Evel Merodach, took over. And he was successful. The economy, what? There was never a depression. He built up an empire. He was extremely successful. Then he lost his mind. So he had a replacement. But during that time when he was replaced, the world continued to do well. Even though when it says here the tree was cut down, it just means Nebuchadnezzar was cut down. It doesn't mean the world economy came to a halt. Everything continued. That's what's so complex about this tree. Because on the one hand, if you look at the tree, so you assume it's his empire. And then when the tree is cut down, so the empire, this empire is providing sustenance. It's providing food for the birds and for the animals. So now when you say the tree is cut down, you think the whole world economy comes to an end. But that's not what it says. Because even though it's providing sustenance, it refers to himself. He is the tree. He is a great person. He is a successful person. His personal success will be cut down. He himself will no longer be a provider. But his son and those that take over in his place, they will continue in his ways and they will provide for the world. The world will continue to go on as it was before. So Shiva Idonin Yachlufun Alohi. Other Mepharshim learn that this took place in seven stages. I guess in the medical science, you'll talk about different stages of losing one's mind, right? There are people that are, everything is fine, and they do strange things, and you can go down different levels. This did not happen to Nebuchadnezzar in one shot. He didn't lose his mind and act like an animal overnight. It happened gradually. He got worse and worse and worse. He went from one stage to the next stage to the next stage, seven different kufos until he reached the low where he behaved like an animal. According to this interpretation, it's not telling us time. It's not telling us how long this process lasted. According to Rashi, the words are to be translated and interpreted very simply that he will lose his mind overnight, he'll behave like an animal overnight, and this behavior will last for 7 years. Years. Others that follow in that style, they translate Eden not necessarily as a year, as a season. In a year, there are four seasons. So that would mean over less than 2 years. Within 2 years already, you have already seven seasons. Or maybe you'll tell me that a season is not four seasons in a year. You'll tell me the two major seasons, summer and winter. And summer includes spring, winter includes fall. So then it's not going to take 7 years. You'll just figure out the number of seasons you need in order for this process to complete. But the other approach is that Eden does not necessarily mean a season, it means a stage in losing his mind.
Didn't we discuss before that he's only going
to
live like 7 years?
Well, he obviously, according to Rashi, the Medrash, he's already living at least 125 years. Right. So he's then after the, he dies, we can figure out the exact dates when he dies. Eventually we'll come to that, the exact dates when Evel, because the whole empire only lasted for 70 years. The only three kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Merodach, and his grandson Belshazzar. Belshazzar reigned for a very short period of time. So now that from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's rise until his fall, it was exactly 70 years. Before Nebuchadnezzar, we learn about Biladon. There was the father of Nebuchadnezzar was Biladon Merodach Baladon, but he was not. He's not counted in the 70 years of the Malchus of Bavel. Chizkiyahu made a very great mistake. Chizkiyahu, after his success of defeating Sancheriv, he invited Merodach Baladon, the father of Nebuchadnezzar, into the Beis Hamikdash to show him the treasures. He even showed him, according to the Medrash, he showed him the Kodesh HaKadoshim, showed him the Oron. And Yeshaya severely criticized Chizkiyahu for showing off all his success to the father of Nebuchadnezzar, Meroidach Baladon. And Yeshaya said, because of what you've done, his son Nebuchadnezzar will one day come back here and take away all of the kelim which you've shown his father, which indeed he did when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But all we learn in Tanakh about the Malchus of Bavel is four generations. Meroidach Baladon, which was not even part of the 70 years of the success of the Malchus of Bavel. then Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, which is discussed at great length a little bit later on. There's a lot to learn about Evel Meroidach, and then Belshazzar, and then it all came to an end with the war of Modai or Paras. Modai came and conquered and wiped out the entire nation of Bavel, and they took control of the world, followed by Paras, the Persians, and then that lasted for a period of time through the Bayis Sheni, which will come to the dates a little bit later on, and then the Yevonim, the Syrian Greeks, Alexander the Great conquered the entire world, and he dominated for a short period of time, and when he died, his Malchus was divided into four parts, and that went on for about another 100 years until Rome came to power. And the Roman Empire, when they came to power, they conquered the world, and they are still, to a certain degree, that's a discussion, Dal Malchios, to Rome, Yishmael, that's another topic in and of itself. But let's go further with the Pasuk Gidal. Bigzeras Irin Piskama. Now this is a very powerful Pasuk. This Pasuk is discussed, it's probably part of the Zmiros. I'm not familiar with all the Zmiros, so you were bucking the Zmiros. But Nebuchadnezzar is telling Daniel about his dream, and he's telling him Bigzeras Irin Piskama. Irin, we mentioned, refers to the Malachim, through the decree of the Malachim. Piskama is the law handed down. A piskam is an edict, a decree, a law. This law has been enacted by the angels, Umamar Kadishin She'elta, and through the Mamar, through the word of the Holy, was it discussed. Now what does that mean? Let's just read the rest of the pasuk. We'll come back and translate these words a little bit again. Al-Divras means so that Di Yindu'un Chaya, that Di yindun means to know. The word yindun comes from the word dea, knowledge. The reason why this decree was enacted by the angels through the consultation of the holy ones in heaven was so that the dream itself is already providing explanation. The world should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of this world. Di, so that yindun shall be known, chayaya, the living world, di shalit ilo'oh, that the exalted one rules. Who is the exalted one? None other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'malchuso enosha, in the earthly kingdom. People think that kings and world leaders are appointed, come to be through man's own devices. That's a big mistake. The one who's going to win the election is the one who Hashem wants. If Hashem wants Romney to win, he'll win. Hashem will influence the hearts and minds of this world, of the people of this country, to vote for Hashem's candidate. When it comes to matters relating to leadership, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a much greater influence in events, and that's what this pasuk is telling us. The only reason why this whole dream is happening, and this prediction is, and this whole period when Nebuchadnezzar, who was successful in conquering the entire world, it was known throughout the entire world that he lost his mind. Can you imagine? He lost his mind, and he's out in the forest, the tourist attraction. Go out into the forest, and you'll see this Meshugana behaving like an animal, communicating with the other animals, eating grass, just like the cows and the lions and the other queen. The lions eat meat, but they're like the other types of animals. People are, how could this be? This man, the Nebuchadnezzar, what? He's named the other animals Meshukah. He wants to torture them as well. So how could this be that this person who conquered the entire world, he lost his mind? Hashem is showing you that Das Seichel Ato Chonein LeOdam Das Umelamed LeEnosh Bina. It is Hashem who gives man understanding. Hashem endows man with intellect, and Hashem controls world events. Hashem controls who the leaders are, because Hashem knows that certain leaders have tendencies to do certain things. Hashem wants to guide world events, and all of this is happening. Di Yindu'un, it shall be known by Chayaya, by all living creatures. Di Shalit Ilo'ah, that the ruler Ilo'ah, that the ultimate, the ruler from on high, Hashem, he rules b'malchuso enosh. He is the one who controls the malchus of man, of mankind. Uleman di yitzpe, and to the one that he, Hashem, yitzpe means wants, desires, the one who, yitzpe means yirtze, yit nani yit ni na, will give, lashon of yitain, will give shlita, will give control. Ushefal anoshim yakim alei, and if Hashem wants, he will cause the lowliest of man to rise up and be king. If it's Hashem's will, a lowly man will rise up and be king. And if Hashem does not want, Hashem will take away that lowly man. Hashem will appoint someone who he sees fit. This is what the Pasuk says, Alei, Yikim Alei will rise upon the world. Pasuk Tezvav, Dino Chelmo Chazes, this is the dream which I saw. Ano Malko Nebuchadnezzar, I, the Melech Nebuchadnezzar, I'm presenting you the entire dream. The Ant, and you, Beltishatzar. Beltishatzar, we've learned many times, is Daniel. That's the name which Nebuchadnezzar, he changed Daniel to the name Beltishatzar, the name of his Avodah Zarah. Beltishatzar are three words. Bel is the idol. Tash refers to protection. Atzar is a treasure. The God which protects my treasures. Pishrei Emor, I command you, Daniel, to provide me with the interpretation. Kol Kovel, the reason why I'm asking you, and I've summoned you to come from your far, from your vacation or wherever you're hiding out, Kol Kovel, because Tikol Chakimei Malchusei, I've already consulted with all of the wise men of my kingdom. Lo Yochlin Pishra, they are unable to provide. Lehodo Usani, Lehodo Usani means to provide. The previous word Pishra is interpretation. They are unable to provide me with an interpretation. And the ant, but you, Daniel, Kohel, are able. Kohel means are Yochol. Yochol are able to provide me with an interpretation. Why? Because I know you have connections. You have connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach Elokin Kadishin Bach. The Holy Spirit of Hashem is within you, and therefore provide me with the interpretation. Now, what is so amazing here is that the dream already gave the interpretation. The Nebuchadnezzar already is losing his mind. Because look what's happening over here. We have over here the dream, this massive tree, and the tree is being cut down, and then the roots are being tied to grass, and then it goes on to say, then his heart is changed into the heart of an animal. He has no intellect. He lives like a wild creature. He's naked. He gets wet from the towel. He eats grass. And the reason why the dream goes on to say, and you know why all of this is happening? The reason why all of this is happening is that the world should know who is in control. It is Hashem that gives Chochmah, and Hashem who takes away Chochmah. Hashem appoints leaders. Hashem removes leaders. And if Hashem wants, Hashem will even cause a lowly person to be elevated to a position of authority. And who is the lowly person here? Obviously, it's Nebuchadnezzar. What was he? He was a wicked person. Hashem elevated this lowly person, Nebuchadnezzar, to a position of authority where he controlled the entire world. But when Hashem wants, Hashem takes away that authority. Hashem can cause this person to do things that no civilized person in the world, even not a civilized person, no person in the world would ever do, to behave like an animal out in the forest and live among the wild.
What's the point of having the dream? Why have a dream and
the interpretation? And yet Nebuchadnezzar could not, Nebuchadnezzar, even though he saw the dream, and the dream really provided, does not take a very big chacham. This is all a dream. Every single thing is all a dream with the interpretation.
Nothing happened yet.
And he sees this entire thing. And basically, the way we've explained it, the dream itself pretty much provided its own interpretation. Like, look at the previous psukim. It provided its own interpretation. And yet Nebuchadnezzar fails to understand what's taking place. Why is that so? So the answer is very simple. He's such an egomaniac, he can't possibly imagine that anything bad will happen to him. How could it be? I'm the king of the entire world. And he still is in denial that there is an HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu says directly to him, I'm doing all this to show you that I control the world, not you, and I will do what I see fit, he is in a state of denial. And therefore he's unable to provide, he's unable to see the obvious. He's blind to the obvious. And all of his wise men are also blind to the obvious because they're also in a state of denial. Or it could be that all of his wise men, maybe they did see the truth, they wouldn't dare tell him. Because if they would tell the king that you, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to lose your mind, you are the tree. Ki ha'odem eitz ha'sodeh. And you're going to be cut down. And you're going to be an animal. And all this because you're extremely arrogant. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing who's in control. He wants to lower you. And then when he'll bring you, when he'll bring you back, it's just to show you, when he will restore you and bring you back to society, it's to show you who is in control. If they would make this statement to the Nebuchadnezzar, you can bet your bottom buck they're not going to be alive much longer. Worse, they'll be tortured to death. So no one's going to tell the Nebuchadnezzar the truth of his dream. Now in this pasuk where it says pasuk Yudalid, the beginning of pasuk Yudalid, it has this very beautiful expression, and the dream itself said that this entire thing that is happening is all being done begzeras Irin Piskama Umamar Kadishin Shelta. This entire episode is being done through the Gezera, is the law. Irin of the holy, the angels. Piskama is being handed down. It's being handed down by the angels. Umamar through the discussion, the deliberation, the debate of the Kadishin, of the holy Shelta, was it asked? What does this expression mean? So let's first look at the Mitzudos and Pasuk Yud Dalit. Hadavar Nigzar, Bigzeras Hamalochim Hamacharivim. This thing was enacted by the law of the angels that are in charge of destruction. Ha'isim Din Makom, who do the bidding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'elta Hagzera Hahi Asuya B'Mamar Hamalochim HaKadoshim, the holy angels. Vihihi, and this second half of the pasuk is identical to the first half of the pasuk. There is nothing more than poetic repetition, as we've had many times in Sefer Yeshaya, two expressions which really mean the same thing. The Gzeras Irin Piskama, comma, that's we are now repeating ourselves in different words. Umamar Kadishin She'elta, this was done through the word of the holy angels. It was discussed and decided and carried forth. This is the way the Mitzudas learns these words. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yudalit, She'elta, Gezera, the Alide Shenim Lochin BiHakadosh Baruch Hu Kodim SheYigzru HaGzera, Kori Oisa She'elta, because the angels ask Hashem. So in other words, the She'el, according to Rashi, is the Malachim don't do things on their own. They first have to ask permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now let me read you, Rashi is really playing around with a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. Let me read you, you do not have this in front of you, but I'm going to read you the words of the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. Uvamamar Kadishin She'elta, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oise Dovar, Hashem does not do anything in this world, Ela Imke Nimlach Bifamalia Shomaila. Hashem always, out of humility, Hashem consults with the heavenly angels, Shenemar, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes this pasuk, Bigzeras Irin Piskama, Uvamamar Kadishin Shelta. So according to the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, which is not the will of Rashi here, is explaining the one that is making the request is Hashem. Uvamamar Kadishin Shelta, Hashem is making a request from his angels. Do you think it's a good idea for me to do this, to punish Nebuchadnezzar and bring about his destruction? Humble him by causing him to lose his mind and having him behave like an animal. And the Malachim say, yeah, it's a great idea. And then Hashem says, okay, it's a great idea, I want you to carry it out. Go, you carry out my request. And that's what the beginning of the pasuk means, that the Gezeras Irin Piskama, that through the decree of the angels is the action, is the decree carried out, because Umamar Kadishin Shelta, Hashem asked them to do so. So according to the Gemara in the Sanhedrin, you have to read the pasuk really backwards. Hashem first has an idea, what he would like to do. Out of humility, Hashem does not act alone. He discusses this with the Pamal Yishalmala, and if the Pamal Yishalmala agree, then Hashem says, okay, please do my bidding, carry out this request, especially if anything which is destructive, Hashem does not do himself. We don't know what all this means, obviously, because Hashem is only Toiv. Hashem is always removes himself a step from Toiv by having, we don't know what this means, because everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Malachim carry out the destruction of the wicked. So this is the precedent for this obviously comes to my Sibrachis. Vayoymer Elikim Naase Adam. Naase is plural, and Rashi tells us we learn here the humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, when He created man,
to a positive,
to teach you, correct. But it's the same idea. It's also
this is the other way around.
Hashem is doing destruction, but built into the creation of man is humility. Hashem wanted to teach man that you should always consult with people that are lower than yourself to promote humility. Okay, let's, where are we up to over here? Is there anything else I wanted to tell you before we conclude? Okay, so this is, okay, this is, maybe just do one more pasuk. No, it's really, we'll stop, it's really late. Okay, but, okay, so this is the basic dream. Okay, so this is the basic dream, and now after Nebuchadnezzar has finished relating to Daniel the dream with its partial interpretation, and now starting with pasuk Tezayin is when Daniel is going to lay it out. He's going to say, guess what, Nebuchadnezzar? Atoish, you are the person, and he tells him exactly what's going to happen, and then he gives him advice how he can stall, he can perhaps dilute the severity of the dream by giving tzedakah and doing different things, and then we learn how the dream actually came and played out and what happened. Okay, so we'll stop here. Pasuk Tes Zayin.